World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, oh man, oh man. Thanks for joining us here. I don't know why you keep coming back. I know why I keep coming back. The reason I keep coming back, because I'm forced every day to get into the Bible. What does the Bible say? And then when I get into what does the Bible say, it leads me someplace else. And it's just been, I can't even tell you how much I have grown over the last, you ready for this? Today is show 2,600 on Friday the 13th. Now, come on now, you can do math, can't you? 13. What's 26 divided by 13? Because this is 13, Friday the 13th, and it matches up with 2,600 show. 13 times 2 is 26. There's a message in there someplace. I don't know what it is. Craig's a numbers guy. I don't know if Craig's out there can straighten this out, but there's something going on. Show number 2,600 on Friday the 13th. Wow. So I woke up today raring to go, be honest with you. And we're going to do communion, but we're not going to do it right now. I already talked to Joe. Joe gets up early in the morning out there on the West Coast to lead us in communion. We're going to do it. But I think it's imperative here's what the Holy Spirit said to me this morning. By the way, I'm sorry if that sounds religious, but the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And another voice they will not hear. And there are many times throughout the day, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you'll hear his voice. And it may not come as a voice, it may come as an unction. Just all of a sudden, you feel like, you know, golly, yeah, you focus on something. Yeah, I got to do that. Folks, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's an unction. Comes as an unction. And I got a real strong unction when I got up this morning. And we'll share that unction with you before we take communion because I think it's really, really, really important. Holy Spirit said to me today, Coach, you're missing it. I think that's what he said something like that. Coach, you're missing it. Not meaning just me, meaning we're missing it. We're missing it. We're missing it. We're watching what's going on. We watch all the evil and everything that's going on, and we are missing what's right in front of us, perhaps the greatest revival the world has ever seen going on in our midst right now. We don't even recognize it. And I want to play a couple of clips, some things. Some of them are a little bit extended, but I think it's really, really, really important. I'm going to start out right now. Pull Kid Rock number 5 up for me, Spencer. I miss this, folks. I miss this. I'm going to play Kid Rock's third verse again. I'm going to try to do it without weeping again. Are there any of you out there who've really been converted? I mean, you are lost. I tell people, did for me what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. When I got born again, man. I was watching what was going on with Kid Rock, and you know, Kid Rock, when he came out, he did some of his old shows and or old songs, and some of them were kind of, you know, they weren't very Christian. And so people start, after Kid Rock sings till he can't, people said, oh yeah, he's a real Christian. Did you hear those lyrics and everything? He's doing blah blah. See, folks, here's what Kid Rock did, and we didn't even notice it. He came out the old Kid Rock. He came out the old Kid Rock. He sang some of those old songs. He was Kid Rock because people turned in to see Kid Rock. And then what did he do? He said, I'm not Kid Rock. I'm what Robert Ritchie. I'm Robert Ritchie. I'm not Kid Rock. He took them from the conversion story. Here's what I used to be, and here's who I am now. And we didn't even see it. We didn't even get it because we can't see with spiritual eyes. We see with such critical eyes. And those of us, I'm talking to me now, who've had a real born again, life-changing experience, I get it. And there are a lot of religious folk who don't. And you know why the religious folk don't get it? Because they ain't never been born again. They never had a truly life-changing experience. So Kid Rock's up there playing his song. He gives his old favorite song, Till You Can't. And then he writes this third verse. And while everybody, the whole world's watching this wicked Kid Rock, all of a sudden in front of him, he becomes Robert Ritchie. He becomes the born again Robert Ritchie. So he leads them down that path of rock and roll to the life-changing experience. And out of nowhere, Kid Rock sneaks the gospel in. And I want you guys to know this. The greatest opportunity for sharing the gospel is right now. Right now. I'm going to show you a couple things here that the Holy Spirit really prompted me today. We spend so much time complaining about this and Trump that and the wicked ones this and wicked one. And we are missing the move of God right in front of us. Hey, folks, I'm going to show you, okay? So this, I'm just going to show you the third verse. So get this now. All the world, all the Kid Rock fans, all the kids that can't wait to watch Kid Rock get up here and do it. And he starts out by doing his stuff. And all of a sudden in the middle, he adds a third verse. It's his life story. It's his life story. And they're all singing along with him and all that stuff. And all of a sudden he says, sorry, folks, I got to add a third verse. And he presents the gospel of the kingdom of God to the world. Millions and millions and millions watched it. Do a Google search and find out there was like 30 million. Oh, maybe that's the numbers wrong. Millions of people who Googled the Bible after he was done. Did you know that? Huh? Millions Googled the Bible. He infiltrated right into the devil's camp. Bear with me. I got some stuff for you today. So get the picture here. Kid Rock singing his song, Till You Can't. And all of a sudden, he becomes Robert Ritchie. Go ahead, play it.
You know, I woke one Sunday morning all alone with this song stuck in my head.
Freeze it. Folks, the people who are watching have no idea this is coming. They're singing along with Kid Rock. They're singing along with him. And right in the middle of one of his most popular songs, boom! He hits him with the gospel. Start it again. You understand this? Huh? They're listening to it. He's doing his Kid Rock thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, he sneaks this in right at the end. Go ahead.
You know, I awoke one Sunday morning all alone with this song stuck in my head. And in that moment, something or someone spoke to me. They said there was still a verse that needed to be written for this song. And to get up and write it down. There's a book that's sitting in your house somewhere that could use some dusting off. There's a man who died for all our sins, hanging from the cross. You can give your life to Jesus, and he'll give you a second chance till you can't. Take it. If you got a chance, chance. If you got a dream,
If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can, until you can.
Get it, folks? You get it? You get it? He shared the gospel with them. He went from Kid Rock to Robert Ritchie. He said, this happened to me. This happened to me. And after it happened to him, then everybody goes and they do a Google search. What the hell's the Bible? See, they're not watching Benny Hinn. They're not watching TD Fakes. We have to go to where they are. Pull up number, where am I? Number three. Pull up number three. Guys, know who Jason Whitlock is. Folks, listen, we're missing it. The revival is in front of us, and it has begun. Now, Jason Whitlock's a commentator on ESPN, Christian, unashamed Christian man. Put it at a 1.75 speed, and he's going to show us again. We're missing it. We're missing it, folks. The revival is in front of us. And, well, watch one. Just go ahead, play it. It's 11 minutes, but we're playing at 1.75 speed. But listen to the wisdom, the vision that comes out of this guy's, huh? We're missing it. The Lord told me this morning, you're missing it. I'm working. I'm ambidextrous. You think I'm working here, but I'm working over here. You can't even see what I'm doing over here. And the revival that's coming is coming outside of the church. Huh? Coming out. Hey, folks, your lost friends ain't walking into church. They ain't walking into church. We got to go to where they are. 1.75 speed. Go ahead and play it.
I believe today the ratings will come out. That's all the speculation for the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl halftime. And I feel everything that I feel, everything that I've been able to research and find tells me we're going to have good news with these television ratings. And we're going to have a David versus Goliath type situation where Kid Rock and Kid's Rock is like that stone that David slung at Goliath and that slayed Goliath. And I believe that Kid Rock and Turning Point USA, they slung a rock at Goliath, the National Football League. And it landed and it struck very hard. And there are people sitting out there rooting and hoping. They're rooting for the Philistines. They're rooting for Goliath. They're rooting for the wicked people. And that's the National Football League. The National Football League has chosen wickedness. And Kid Rock in that halftime show is going to be that rock that humbles the National Football League and sends a message to all of sports that fans are owed respect. Everything about the sports world over the last 20, 30, maybe even 40 years has been a disrespect and an assault on fans. And finally, we had enough. And TPUSA and from Erica Kirk to Andrew Colvett to Tyler Boyer to, what is it, Grant or Brent Neff? They finally heard our voices and took action. Jack Posobiec, they finally took action. And this is an event. What I'm calling Kids Rock, what I'm calling the Super Bowl halftime show that TPUSA executed and pulled off to great success, I'm calling that, and this will sound way over the top, but it's the most important moment in sports since Jackie Robinson. And I sincerely believe that. And when I say Jackie Robinson, I'm talking about Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. And I know the racial idolaters right now are going nuts. How you can't compare anything to Jackie Robinson? Whitlock is nuts. What a sellout. Yes, I'm going and I know it's high risk what I'm saying, what I'm doing. And I really don't care about, I do care, but the ratings won't tell the full story. And they may be able to manipulate the ratings, although I don't think so. That game was awful. That halftime was awful. The numbers that TPUSA pulled off were legitimate and real. And so I think over in the next 24 hours, we're going to hear about a 5, 10, 15% drop in Super Bowl ratings. And that is monumental. The NFL and sports have become so arrogant that they thought they were untouchable. And finally, we touched them through Kid Rock. Through this TPUSA Super Bowl halftime. And I know, Kid Rock, and you know, he's a degenerate. You know, his lyrics are just as bad as Bad Bunny. And miss me with all of that. And yes, I know you don't like, or some of you don't like, or some of you on the left are pretending you don't like Kid Rock. You don't like the messenger. And you think that gives you license to ignore the message. You're wrong. God chooses screwed up messengers every single time because we're all screwed up. And I hear you. God choosing Kid Rock. Whitlock is crazy. This is just like Trump. These guys are evil. God chooses messed up people every single time to do his will. I messed up. Any of you listening to this show, watching this show right now, and me sitting here professing any part of the gospel, me sitting here, supporting or praising Jesus Christ, trust me, I'm the wrong messenger. I'm as screwed up as anybody watching this show, listening to this show, or whatever. But I've been chosen. We've all been chosen to help execute the Great Commission. We've all been chosen to push back against the forces of iniquity and power and corruption and just the arrogant people that pollute our culture with corruption, with degeneracy. And yes, you say, well, that's Kid Rock. Haven't you listened to his music? Yeah, I listened on Sunday, and I heard something completely different. I heard a man singing Till You Can't, and I heard a man that put a biblical spin on that song, and I heard a man that participated in something high risk that could have been embarrassing. The Kid Rock's made millions upon millions of dollars. He's got all the popularity in the world. He didn't need to involve himself with the TPUSA event. It could have been a flop. He could have been a laughingstock. He could have taken that halftime platform that TPUSA built, and he could have spewed a bunch of political rhetoric. He could have cursed out the left and done, you know, done what Kid Rock tends to do a lot of times, but he didn't do that. He stuck to the music. He stuck to a consistent message. He through his music, he walked you through his journey, his maturity, his growth, his realization that, like, man, all this money and all this fame, it's not worth it if I don't use it to somehow to glorify God and somehow speak truth to the powerful forces that are taking advantage of the common man, taking advantage of the sports fan. This was, it was a miracle. And I know many of you, again, will reject that and laugh at me and say that Whitlock's gone crazy and he's making too much of this. But this is why Jackie Robinson and breaking the color barrier in baseball and in sports changed American culture. And I believe the Super Bowl halftime deal is going to have.
See, Kid Rock broke through the demonic barrier. You understand that, folks? You understand that? Same thing he's saying about Jackie Robinson being the first black one. Kid Rock was a Christian message in the middle of that demonic Super Bowl. It'll never, America will never be the same. Because why? Because there's a revival going on that we can't see and we don't understand. And people by the millions chose to go watch TP, whatever. They chose to go watch that, and they broke the stronghold of the Super Bowl. Keep going. It gets better.
Long-lasting impact, and is going to change part of American culture. This will play out over the next 5, 10, 15 years. But what TPUSA and what Kid Rock pulled off is going to inspire others. There have been too many sports fans and just modern Americans who believe we are powerless against the people, against the forces that are spreading Marxism, that are spreading demonic energy, that are promoting the whole LGBTQIA plus silent P movement, the whole Black Lives Matter movement. We have felt, I know I have felt, for a solid 10 years. Like, hey, man, there's nothing we can do. And Kid Rock and TPUSA just proved, no different than Donald Trump's re-election the second time and the first time, were proof that, like, hey, man, you don't have to take this. Therefore, yes, their forces are powerful. Yes, they control the banking institutions. Yes, they control money. Yes, they control the zeitgeist. Yes, they control the American media. Yes, they control movies and music. And yes, they control the World Economic Forum. They're the ones imposing globalism. Yes, the leftists, in terms of everything that's going on in Minnesota and the illegal immigration. Yes, they've opened our borders. But part of that has been, the reason why they've had so much control is because we have been afraid to legitimately fight back and push back. And so just like Donald Trump, and what he pulled off in 2016, getting elected and then proved again in 2024 by getting reelected, despite all the forces trying to put him in jail, trying to silence him, trying to incarcerate him, trying to kill Donald Trump. Well, now we have our example in the sports world. And this is a domain and a landscape that I know well. And it has been out of control and an utter failure and totally disrespectful to sports fans for far too long. Calling this Kid's Rock. It slayed the National Football League. And for those of you that don't fully understand, like,
amen. If he's a mess. Kid Rock slayed. This was not. Do you think they would have let Kid Rock do that Christian song? Do you think they would have let him do that? No, he snuck right into the enemy's camp. And he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom to millions of people, millions of people. And folks, that genie ain't going back in. It ain't going back in. I'm going to show you one more thing, okay? Let me find it here. Not that one. Not that one. Here's another song. I'll play another song for you. I'll get you in here, I promise. I'll get you in there. Here's another song that's skyrocketing right now. Number 7, guy named Brantley Gilbert. Pull that up there, Spencer. Huh? Hey, Spence, put it at 1.5 speed. Never heard of Brantley Gilbert. Never heard of him in my life, but it's rocking country music. Hey, folks, there's something going on. Something's happening here. And it's happening outside the church. Gilbert Brantley called My Faith in You. I've never heard this song. Go ahead.
This world turning its back, when you found yours against that wall. Just watch it as it keeps on spinning, just like there's nothing wrong. That's why I'm thumbing through these pages. They say the answers aren't written, and I believe they're in here somewhere. I haven't found them yet, but it's the only hope that I got left. 'Cause I couldn't stand to lose my faith in friends who come and go. Yeah, they'll be there when you need them. They say that when you don't. I couldn't give up on my heroes, could let myself down too. But what would I do if I lost my faith in you?
All about Jesus.
And I know you did all that for me, and I'm still asking you for help. 'Cause Lord, I just hate it on my say. Yeah, I couldn't stand to lose my faith in friends that come and go. Yeah, they'll be there when you need them, but say that when you don't. I couldn't give up on my heroes, could let myself down too. But what would I do if I lost my faith in you? 'Cause I've been beaten, I've been broken. Dangerously bruised, and Lord, I never would have made it if I'd have lost my faith in you. I lost my faith in you.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And let's be honest here. Get ready, get your communion ready. I want to take communion right now. Folks, religion's killed us, man. Religion's killed us. It's killed the spirit. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? Signs, signs, everywhere signs, blocking out the scenery, changing my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? We become so religious, so heavenly conscious, we're no earthly good. And the greatest revival the world has ever seen is in front of us. And we'll tell you this. It is not happening in the church. It's not happening in the church. Sorry. We've been programmed and religiousized and indoctrinated, trained in who knows what, meaningless stuff. Trained to argue over one another, with one another, over eschatology and when this is going to happen and do this and don't do that. And we're missing the life-changing gospel of the kingdom of God. Most of us have no idea how to share the gospel, how to make it real, how to live it. None of, we don't. And so my opinion, God is invading man's most popular spots. Sports. God's invading sports. And he's taking the unclean and he's cleaning them up and he's sending them back onto the field. We don't get it. There's a revival going on and we don't get it. Number 8, and then we're going to take communion. Ezra Benson Taft is a Mormon. Don't send me texts about Mormonism. I get it. Mormons, from my understanding, serve Jesus plus. They think, whatever. I'm not going to get into Mormon theology. But Ezra Benson Taft, who was one of the founders of Mormonism, and promoters of Mormonism, listen to this. Listen to this. This is 30, 40 years old. This isn't about Mormonism. This is about the gospel of the kingdom. Go ahead and play it.
For nearly 6,000 years, God has held you, most of you, in reserve to make your appearance in the final days before the second coming of the Lord. While our generation will be comparable in wickedness to the days of Noah, when the Lord cleansed the earth by flood, there is a major difference this time, and that is that God has saved for the final inning some of his strongest children who will help bear off the kingdom triumphantly. And that is where you come in. All through the ages, the prophets have looked down through the corridors of time to our day. Billions of the deceased and those yet to be born have their eyes on us. Make no mistake about it, you are a marked and a choice generation. Each day, the forces of evil and the forces of good pick up new recruits. Each day, we personally make many decisions that show where our support will go. The final outcome is certain. The forces of righteousness will finally win. What remains to be seen is where each of us personally, now and in the future, will stand in this fight, and how tall we will stand. You will never have a better opportunity to be a greater hero in a more crucial battle than in the battle you will face today and in the immediate future. Be warned that some of the greatest battles you will face will be fought within the silent chambers of your own soul.
Wow, huh? Wow. Gene, come on in, and then we're going to do communion. Come on in, okay. Gene.
Coach, I like what you've been saying, but I don't want to take anything away because we don't know who was saved, been saved and not, because everybody has a different feeling of salvation or different reaction. Because my father, I was 12 years old and I accepted the Lord and was baptized before he, because he had nothing to do with the church. But when he became a Christian, he changed from night to day.
Me too, brother.
And then it made me wonder, well, I'm not saved. I wasn't saved. The devil just kept taunting me. Yeah, you're going to hell. You're not saved. But then finally I heard Billy Graham say, if you ever doubt your salvation, go behind the barn and pound a stick in the ground and tell him, I've done it. There it is. Get away from me. And that's what I had to do. Because we all have different reactions. We have different experiences.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord I went through what I did. But I just knew that when I saw my dad, when he gave his life to the Lord, he just changed from night and day. And that was just
Amen.
A snap of a finger.
So'd Kid Rock. Huh? It's a powerful Amen. Salvation message that the church has not been able to articulate. Now, wait a minute. They articulate it inside the four walls. But we don't do very, most of us, we can't even share the gospel with our family. We don't even know how to do it. Really. And I thank God every day that my children don't know the old me. Anybody ever feel that way? They don't know the old me. It's real. The wonder working power of Christ, life changing power of Christ is so real. And we want to give people religion. Go ahead, Jeff Nares. No, we're going to do communion. Hang on, Joe. Hang on, Jeff. Yeah. Hang on. Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say, yeah, what you said there, aren't you glad that we didn't have cell phones 30 years ago, 40 yeah. years ago?
Amen.
You know, wow.
It's real, man. It's real.
Your thought life, if your thought life just today, just in one day, if your thought life was flashed up on a screen, just your thought life, as wow. good as you're trying to be, it's just incredible.
It is, man.
We need him. We need him.
So I'm gonna tell you this. God's talking to some of you out there right now. Huh? You have any idea how real this is? Life changing. As Joe often says, the meal that heals. And every time you do it, Bible says, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. That we eat the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Catholics say the actual body and blood. Doesn't matter to me whether it's symbolic or not. And this can right now can be a life-changing moment for you. Are you one of those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Do you share the gospel with everybody else? Not the condemnation of the gospel. Certainly you have to lead with the fact that they're a sinner. You have to convince them they're a sinner. But you can't tell them what a wonderful life Jesus is going to give them, because a lot of people receive Christ and then their life gets horrible for a while. They made a mess their whole life, and all of a sudden they expect everything to be better because I received Christ. No, dude, you got some plowing. You got some garbage you got to carry out. You've built yourself a reputation. You've surrounded yourself with people who know what a wicked person you are. They don't change overnight. Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. Holy Spirit's the world's greatest fruit inspector. And as Joe leads us in this communion, don't lose sight of the fact that you were born into sin, conceived in sin, and were an active participant in sin. For how long? You might be 60 years old. That's why they call it being born again. Because you start over. Start over. I'd just like all of you out there, if you would, just repeat this. Make it real in your heart. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. And I'm one of those who has had a form of godliness, denied the power thereof. And yes, Lord, I did receive you. I was born again. But I've been ashamed of the gospel. Didn't know what to do with it. Didn't know how to expand the kingdom. Didn't understand the things of the Lord. And I just ask you today, Lord, come into my heart, come into my life, clean me up. Clean me up. And let this taking of your elements, your communion, wash me clean again. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me today the joy of my salvation. And show me how to serve you in a more powerful way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you very much, Coach. The reading this morning, everybody, is Galatians 3, 19 to 29. What purpose, then, does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made.
Amen.
And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator does not mediate only for only one, but God is one. Or for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law.
Amen.
But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe.
Thank you, Lord. I believe.
But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ.
Schoolmaster.
That we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor.
Man, don't need the law anymore. You don't need the law anymore.
For if you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Thank you,
there
Lord.
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
Amen. Amen.
There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female.
Thank you, Lord.
You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are all Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Ain't no stepchildren in the family of God. You understand that, folks? You understand that? We are all adopted, Jew, Greek, ain't none of that anymore. No male, no female. By the way, you're a spirit, live in a body, possess a soul. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. You're not going to make it into heaven by your denomination. Good, Joe.
Thank you, Coach.
Joe, I don't know. You guys realizing the Holy Spirit's working from coast to coast here? You understand Joe's delivering the same message? Do you understand that? I didn't talk to Joe. Somebody did, though. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Thank you, Coach. Yeah, Holy Spirit's like a glue that just brings everything together. And, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you with gratitude again this morning. Grateful for this day that you have made. Grateful that no weapon formed against us will prosper because of the righteousness that we walk in through you, Lord. I believe that's the other part of that verse that so many forget to say. And Lord, we are grateful for where we are, that that we are a part of those chosen people, that we were chosen to be here now. And I am recalling a song from that once rocker, Barry McGuire, who became radically saved and left his career and became a Christian musician right at when he was at the top. And I think the mamas and the papas were his backup group.
Amen.
And he had a song, Lord, we are a chosen generation, a royal people, a holy nation. And I remember that song now, and I'm feeling it even more.
Amen.
And you inspired him to write that song, and we are inspired to be here now. We are grateful, and we're feeling the Holy Spirit, and we're across this great nation and maybe in a few other countries right now. We are grateful. And we see that the veil is being pulled from those who've been drinking the Kool-Aid, Lord. Those who have been
Amen.
Believing the lies.
Amen.
Please go beyond their pride and let them accept that they have been fooled for a long time. It's easier to fool a man, Lord, than to convince him he was fooled. And pride is that gets in the way. So we ask, Lord, that you help our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, or the strangers that we meet. You help them start to finally accept that they have been fooled.
Use us, Lord. Use us.
Yes, Lord. And let us not say, I told you so, with pride. No, let us help people walk across that path, that bridge from being lied to coming in through the fog into truth. Let us help guide these that you put us here to help guide over that, to make these, to bring into our reality what you have been wanting us to walk into. We're walking into it now, Lord. And let us be humble and help those that you put around us so that we can help them, Lord. And we know that the stolen election is now becoming made visible, and it's not just propaganda. It's the truth is coming out. I believe that that's what Tulsi Gabbard walked over to the White House, Lord, that was what she walked into the White House, that proof from the FBI raid. I think that it's starting now. What we've been praying for, some of us were praying before the election in 2020, that I think that finally is, that those prayers were heard, and it's finally becoming not just propaganda from the president, but truth being revealed. And let those who've been denying pretty quickly accept it, Lord. Let them accept it and remove the division from our nation.
Yes, Lord.
Let those who are culpable be brought to justice, and let the justice be real, and bring them to their knees so they have their come to Jesus moment. We don't want them to go to the big barbecue, Lord. We want them to find truth. And if they need to pay for some crimes, then let them pay here for some crimes, but let them come to their knees and see the truth and acknowledge it, and let Jesus change their lives. And so, Lord, among those we are praying for to see the truth are those who have been holding Tina Peters unjustly in prison. We ask you keep her safe, keep her strong, protect her, and release her into freedom, Lord. Release her into freedom, and let those who have wrongfully imprisoned her be among those brought to justice. And we remember, as Coach reminded us, that this can be the meal that heals. And we know that we all have aches. We all have pains. We all have issues in our friends or family that, emotional or spiritual things or things gone wrong or financial things that aren't easily fixed and that we struggle. And when we pray to fix these, have these things fixed, we pray from fear, not from faith. So help us, Lord, that when we pray from faith. We pray knowing that by his stripes, we are healed.
Amen.
We are healed.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us know people with PTSD or CPTSD or other emotional challenges, and maybe we have them ourselves. And that's a challenging road in traditional therapies to get through, but we know that Jesus can fix it in a blink or in an instant.
Amen.
So, Lord, let us pray, and from faith, from our seat, we are seated at the right hand of the Father as a part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Apostle Paul taught us in some of his writings. We are there right now as we are simultaneously here. Let us pray from there, Lord. Let us pray from there. And we are grateful for communion. We ask you to bless this bread and drink, representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we ask you to forgive us our sins and transgressions, and let us come cleansed into your sight. We remember you, Lord, with this, and we also participate in the covenant that you made with us, that we who believe in you shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. So,
Lord, we with gratitude come to communion, and let this really be the meal that heals us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Joe. I got a couple things I want to show you, but I'm going to hold off. Open it up here. We only have 13 minutes left, but give you a chance to say what's on your mind. Ray, come on in. Thanks, Ray.
Yeah, earlier when you were playing those things about faith, that when he was talking about faith, it reminded me of Hebrews 11:40 that I had put in the chat. It says, "God, having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect," right? Amen. I pondered on that a little bit, Coach, and I reflected on your mission in life as a coach. Your perfection is being worked out by your impartation into all of us, like you were talking the other day about our gifts and how now, because we're doing these things, these are your perfections that are being worked out. You know, it's kind of amazing how that all interlies and interweaves with our own lives too, as well. You know, I just think on that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey Ray, think about this, folks. We ought to all think about this, right? Who led Kid Rock to the Lord? Somebody did, didn't they? He said he was just sitting around heard from the Lord. But come on now, we know this. A lot of seeds planted. A lot of seeds planted. And I, you know what? I just saw the other day, just yesterday maybe it was, Joe Rogan. Led to the Lord. By what? By some guy, some guest on it just articulated the gospel to Joe. Said, I never knew that. I never looked at it that way. I never knew that. And I want you all to know this, that there is an anointing right now in America for the expansion of the kingdom of God. And most of the church, I'm sorry, is eschatologically bound up, thinking it's over. And the Bible says that in the last days, somebody help me out here. If I'm lying, you can point it out. That in the last days, Kid Rock led Joe Rogan. That's right. Huh? That in the last days, he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That's in the Bible, isn't it? I think that's in the Bible. That in the last days, he's going to pour out his all spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters, that'd be you and me. It's you and me. They ain't little kids. His sons and daughters shall prophesy. His old men shall see dreams. And young men shall see visions. That's what the scripture says. Well, we're so eschatologically bound up in the end, its end, that we're not doing the work that's in front of us. Work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. And if you believe that the end times are upon us, how do you just sit, what's the word, peaceably, and watch those around you perish? Not supposed to share. Don't share. What's the word? Don't push your morality on me, dude. It's life or death. I'm going to push it on you, and you can either eat it or not eat it. And I want you to know this, that at some point, even though they reject you, at some point, you keep planting that seed, keep planting that seed. At some point, somebody's going to come along, and they're going to reap that crop that you planted. You may not reap it, but you'll plant it. And that salvation will just be one more amen in the life of that person whose eyes finally open. And we have to realize that the scripture tells us that we're not ashamed of the gospel of the kingdom, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't hate to tell you this. That ought to be the number one thing on each and every one of you as you go about your day. The salvation of those you come in contact with. How about this? The salvation of those you love and aren't in the kingdom. It's so easy to get distracted. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. God is moving like we... Hey, he upset the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl will never be the same, folks. It'll never be the same. There'll be halftime shows popping up all over the place, and the NFL's going to have to decide which horse they're going to ride. That thing was stabbed right in front of us last weekend. Randy, come on in.
Amen, Coach. Amen. You're preaching good. You know, Coach, here, you know, if we wouldn't let it, I didn't want to make this about eschatology, but if your last days concept would just say, we're in the kingdom now, okay?
Right now.
I think it ended 70 AD. Okay, I'm good with it. You know, I don't. That's not an issue for me. I'm looking at the kingdom of God rolling and nothing stopping it. The stone, Jesus. Who's stone to stop him? Nobody. So, Coach, if you look at the kingdom in age now, we're in it. That's not even an issue because you're building the kingdom.
That's right.
Until you die, and then someone else is going to build it. And then at some point in time, wherever, if you ever, when Jesus says, "Hey, it's time." Then things may change, it'd be different. But just see yourself in the kingdom now forever. And then none of the last days issue, all that, not even an issue. See, we're not trying to get them in. Oh, it's about to happen. We got to get you in at the last second, and which is not true. But anyway, the kingdom is now and forever, Coach. We can't change that fact.
The kingdom of God, Randy, is within. Folks, do you understand that? That's what it means to be born again. The kingdom of God is within. It's within you. Why? Because Christ came in you, all power came with him. The kingdom of God is not someplace we're going. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The kingdom has come. The kingdom is within. When I die and I cross that bridge, whatever that thing is, it's like going through a traffic light. I'm already in the kingdom. I'll be leaving the state. It'd be like I'm traveling from Ohio to Kentucky. I'm already in. I just got to cross over. You understand? You understand this? Was an apostle Paul said, if we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. If your life and my life is about this, Really? Really? No, see, the kingdom of God has come within me. I'm already within the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. Already. The kingdom of God is within me that I might expand it and bring others into the kingdom. It's not a salvation issue. You're an ambassador. We're ambassadors. We follow our coach. Coach says, go do this. We go do it. We don't say, no, I ain't going to do that. Go tackle that guy. I ain't going to tackle. Let somebody else tackle him. I'm not going to do it. I only got 5 minutes left. It's got somebody come in. I hate my new cell phone. Just went off, and I don't even know how to get to all the pages on. Come on, somebody come in here, rescue me. I feel so good. Stephanie gave me a boom. Thanks, Stephanie. Oh, yeah, how about this? I got so much. Let me finish with this, because this isn't very spiritual. You better understand, folks, that there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and it's going to be revealed right in front of us. And what's going to happen, now we find that the election, all that stuff, it's all coming out. What's going to happen, it's going to be unbelievable. Let me give you a taste of it, okay? Roseanne Barr. Go ahead and play it. This is, hey, this few years ago. There is another team. Go ahead.
You know they eat babies. That is not bullshit. It's true.
So it's not just the dogs and the cats, not just the pets.
It's not just the dogs and the cats. They're full-on vampires. And everybody still thinks I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. They're full-on vampires. They love the taste of human flesh, and they drink human blood. They do, Tucker. Stop staring at me like that.
You're freaking me out, man. Because you spent your life in the entertainment business, so I think you have some authority on this.
So many kids that I was in mental institutions with over the years, they are all from those cults. And they've covered it all up. They covered it all up. And, you know, I just pray to God. I'm just going to pray to God that he opens everybody's eyes in this country. By the time we go into vote for Trump, that he will open up everybody's eyes and they will stop pretending to be asleep. You know what they say? You can't wake people up that are pretending to be asleep. But I pray to God, please wake up even those who are pretending to be asleep with the irrefutable truth of what the worst people on this planet are really up to. They are really up to that. They're doing it. There are so many victims. There are so many victims. There are so many children victims that are now adults. The epidemic in America is child sexual abuse, and I just want people to see it. I want people to open up their eyes and see how prevalent and horrible it is. One of three girls, one of four boys in this country today. It's just horrible, and you just can't la-la-la it away anymore. It's going to get more and more apparent, and you got to choose your side. You know they...
Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. Huh? Oh, my goodness. That's why the devil is after the children. Friends, he's after the next generation. Why? Because Psalm 78 says it's our obligation, Christian man, to teach it to our children, who will teach it to their children. That the ever-expanding kingdom of God goes through generations, and the devil knows if he can get the kids, he stops the expansion of the kingdom. Why are we hearing about all this child trafficking and eating blood and eating babies? There's a devil loose. There's a devil loose. And the sooner we wake up and understand not only is Jesus Christ King, there's a devil loose. Until we make that real in our own lives and understand that the battle before us is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Until we understand that, none of this stuff is going to make any sense to us. Adrenochrome, all that stuff. We're in a war, baby. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.